For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Before we get started, something very, very important has to happen. We have a very exciting show today. I can't wait. The great Joe Beningo at 4 o'clock. We'll preview Giants-Browns. The Mets don't lose. A Juan Soto scare. But before we do anything, Tiki, stand up for a second. Standing up?
I'm standing up.
I want you to pinch me. Just pinch me anywhere.
Oh, right here.
Oh, it hurts! So that means it's real.
Yes, it is.
That means last night at MetLife Stadium, and it wasn't just what was happening at MetLife Stadium, though that was a big part of it. It was what was also happening at Citi Field. But last night at MetLife Stadium, there were many, many moments, be honest with me, to my fellow Jet fans, where you needed a former NFL player like Tiki to pinch you, very hard, to make sure that what you were witnessing, what we are witnessing, is not a dream. Because last night, and you all can save it. Oh, the Patriots suck. Their offensive line is terrible.
It was.
That's all true.
Of course.
I don't care.
Didn't have anything to do with how well the Jets executed and how unbelievable Aaron Rodgers was.
Say it again, bro.
Unbelievable Aaron Rodgers.
Say it louder.
It made football fun again, watching Aaron Rodgers play football.
Right. And for anybody who is a New York Jets fan, and has spent money over the years going to MetLife Stadium and before that Giants Stadium, how many times have you walked into that same freaking building and had the exact opposite experience? How many times have you walked into that building against the same team, different roster, different coach, and forget about what happened on the field, you're surrounded by Patriot fans? Where it was 50-50, where it was 60-40. Last night, you couldn't find them. They were rats leaving the Titanic. Last night, watching everything, Will McDonald.
Yeah, he had a day.
And you can tell me, but Ev, the tape's not that impressive.
No, this one was impressive.
This was impressive?
This was very impressive.
Oh, yes. Quincy Williams all over the place. Aaron Rodgers quarterbacking like we have never seen a Jet quarterback. Braylon Allen physically abusing defenders trying to tackle him. Allen Lazard. Allen, we said a lot of bad things about you. Come over here, my man. And, of course, your guy. Everybody in my section, we took turns kissing the ass of the great Nate Hackett. Because last night at MetLife Stadium, everything was beautiful, Tiki, and I still can't believe it's real.
It is. Now you know why I've been saying I love Nate Hackett for a year plus.
I love Nate Hackett.
Now you love Nate Hackett. Now all Jet fans love Nate Hackett.
For a week at least.
But just in all seriousness, yes. It felt like he was in complete control. I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers now. Complete control of what the offense was trying to do to the New England Patriots. And no matter what they did, they were wrong.
Yes.
When they had guys covered, what did he do? As a 40-year-old guy recovering from an Achilles injury, he runs out of the pocket.
Yes.
He threatened defenders that I'm going to run, and they bought it.
Yeah.
And he went and found Tyler Conklin.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the way that he managed that game and executed the game plan, it was beautiful. I mean, it wasn't perfect, obviously, but it was as good as you've seen the Jets perform offensively in, I mean,
forever.
I'm trying to think.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Maybe the Fitzpatrick Jets.
Year? Yeah,
maybe.
Right.
I'm serious. I think that might be the last time.
They were great that year offensively. Right, I don't want to minimize it.
They were. But this, it felt so in control and perfectly game planned.
It felt perfect. It felt beautiful. And I think here's the part that really excites me and really excites every single Jet fan out there. You look at this and you can envision it getting even better. You look at it and you say, as great as it was last night, it can get better than that. Like, there's still something like a micro centimeter off between Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson, and that will change.
Right.
That connection will only develop. Aaron got the tight ends involved last night. Aaron got Xavier Gibson involved last night. Aaron Rodgers has two running backs that can kill you many different ways. Mm. They can kill you catching the ball out of the backfield. They can kill you running someone over like Braylon Allen. Like, this is such a diverse offense. This is such a fun offense. But here's, like, the best part about last night, and this is so rare, Tiki.
What's that?
There was a football game in which not even for a moment were you nervous. Not even for a moment were you scared.
Yeah.
I never had it. Even the opening drive when it got short-circuited.
Right.
I was never scared.
After it became two scores, it felt like, first of all, the defense, forget what the offense was doing. They couldn't do a thing against the Jets defense.
Right. And you saw that from jump.
From jump. And so after it was two scores, it felt like, okay, how explosive, how like big is this gap going to be?
Right.
Are they going to destroy him by 30?
And they could have.
Right.
Like 24-3 is not even a fair indicator of what that game even was last night.
I agree with you.
And most of the time, and a part of this is on me and all of us as Jet fans, we're very negative people. And you can understand why we're very negative people. And there are moments in a game, I said this to you last week against Tennessee, in which, I'm nervous. Even when that opening drive has stalled, you know, and it stalled with an Aaron Rodgers sack, it stalled with them kind of moving backwards, I still had a confidence. I still said, you know what, I like what I saw from Nate coming out of the gate, throwing the football. I like the way they were moving things. And then, on the first New England drive, right out of the gate, you see Quincy Williams tackling Hunter Henry immediately, and you see Will McDonald basically saying to Jacoby Brissett, we're going to make out tonight.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be all over you.
Right.
And Will McDonald, credit to you, Wilfredo Aloysius Jesus McDonald, this man became a man over the last 2 weeks, they need him to.
Well, it's awesome when a young player gets challenged, right? When he's presented an opportunity and then lives up to it.
Right.
That's all you can ask for.
Yes.
For a guy that you drafted that high, is live up to the opportunity when it comes your way.
Yes.
And he did it. Like, so last week, it was a couple of cheapies, right? It just is what it is.
Sure.
Not his fault. They were cheapies. Three sacks is a lot, but cheapies. These will work at it.
Oh,
and
destroy
the guy across from you, sacks. And that's exactly what they needed defensively, and it's exactly what you need from him going forward. Games aren't going to be this easy.
I get that.
It's hard to win in the NFL.
Sure.
24-3 doesn't happen very often, but when you have an opportunity to do it, and you take as much advantage of it as you can.
Absolutely, and to be a winning team, to be a really good team, to be a team that makes the postseason, to be a team that, dare I say, competes for a championship, there's a lot of things you got to do right.
Yep.
And one of the things you have to do right is when a mediocre to bad team comes into your building, you have to take their freaking soul. Okay, you can't let them hang around. You've got to destroy football teams.
Right.
So no one is going to confuse the New England Patriots with a playoff team, despite some thinking through 2 weeks, you know what? They beat the Bengals. They almost beat the Seahawks. Maybe they...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
They're good, or maybe they're not, and maybe it's just the NFL. But quite frankly, I don't care. I don't give a damn if they're good or if they're not good. The Jets needed to take care of business last night. They needed to show that they can dominate. And they did. And honestly, like, if they would have won this game 9-6 or 20-17, I said this to you the other day, take a win, bank it, clean up your mistakes, and move on. It was such a complete, awesome effort. And granted, it's against a bad team, but it's only week three, and every single week, Teak, this team is getting better and better and better.
And they're going to continue to get better and better and better, and so much of it is because of their run game, because of their running backs. It's the running game, but it's also the running backs. And I love Braylon's comments about why he got drafted so late because of the Underwear Olympics, also known as the Combine. But I don't think we've scratched the surface on what this offense can do.
That's right.
Mike Williams is so good at catching the football.
50-50 balls are his specialty.
But even bad balls, balls that aren't on target. Garrett Wilson, you know, you saw these videos that emerge after the game where Aaron is trying to get him in the right place. Hey, Garrett, get over there. Hey, G, you know, come on, get back here. Get back here. Get set right now. I got to snap the ball. So he's still learning. And yet... It's a new offensive line. You worry a little bit about Morgan Moses, obviously the right tackle who went out and missed the rest of the game in the third quarter. But still, like, this offensive line played really well. So how much better can they get is what's exciting. The other takeaway from this that I say is, for a year ago, all you wanted to talk about until the last game of the season, the last Patriots game of the season, was how dominant the New England Patriots have historically been over the New York Jets.
Yeah.
That is dead.
Say it louder.
It is dead.
It is what?
The Jets no longer ever have to fear the New England Patriots because they have exercised that ridiculous, however long, 8-year streak, whatever it was, and it is dead. The Jets are going up, the Patriots are staying flat, and if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And I love that they're overtaking the New England Patriots.
Yes, and I think you're going to be proud of me about this. So last night I was at the game. It was my maiden voyage as a season ticket holder.
Oh, how was that?
Got to meet a ton of people in my section, all great people. And like I said on the air yesterday, they become your family. So they become my family. I have a lot of new family members at MetLife Stadium. And one of the things I love now, and I experienced this with the Mets, I don't as much with the Nets because that's a different story, but I definitely do with the Jets last night, is everybody has a conversation. We're talking the entire game. And you're going to be very proud of me of one conversation I had with a gentleman to the left, right side of me.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. That man wanted nothing but more blood in the fourth quarter against the Patriots. And he said, I want them to run up the score.
Yeah.
This isn't enough. Bill did it to us. And there was a moment, probably last year, where I envisioned doing that. There was probably a moment during the offseason where I envisioned doing that. But last night, as I sat back, my feet were up. It was like I was at the beach. The Jets are dominating. The Mets held off the Phillies. Honestly, I felt like a king. I really did. I felt like I'm on the top of the world right now.
Right.
Got to surprise my youngest son by picking him up at school yesterday. I mean, like, top of the world. And as this gentleman says, no, 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 run the score up. I want Rodgers throwing the football. I looked at him and said, nah.
Why?
We don't need to. And the reason why we don't need to is it's over. Like, Tiki's right. It's over. Like, if the Patriots become a good team again and we're a rival again, great. Yes, it'll be a heated rival. And maybe Gerard Mayo will be able to do that.
Yep.
But in last night's moment, I just wanted to enjoy the ass whooping. And I didn't need that. I didn't need, and this is the part I think you'll really appreciate, risking injury to Aaron Rodgers or anybody else to settle old blood feuds. It's not necessary. 24-3, 31-3, 38-3. Look, yeah, Bill was a douche, man, and Bill did that to us a lot. And it bothered me, of course. But it also bothered me that the Jets couldn't stop them in the past.
Yes.
But last night, I was at such peace. I didn't need revenge against the Patriots. And I was glad, because at first when Aaron came into the game on that final drive, I was like, why is Aaron even in the game? Take him out. Why am I risking anything? And luckily, he was just handing the ball off.
Yeah.
And I felt better, but I feel like I've grown as a human that I didn't need that bloodthirsty revenge.
Yeah, it's interesting how once it's a certain overcoming of whatever the trauma, it's certain. It's not like, oh, that was fluky. Oh, that they didn't care as the end of the season.
Right.
Ah, the coach is not going to be there next year. This didn't really matter. That was last season's victory, which snapped the, whatever it was, 15-game straight streak. This one was important for both teams because of the point in the season that you're at, week three, and it's a new coach in New England. He's trying to establish a culture. Winning on the road against the Jets would have been huge. And for the Jets, it's obviously Aaron Rodgers. This is the Aaron Rodgers era. We need to accelerate as quickly as possible. It was important for both teams, and it was so convincing. It's satisfying enough.
Yeah, they didn't belong on the same field as the New York Jets in any aspect. They didn't belong on the same field offensively. They didn't belong on the same field defensively. And I know Tom Brady isn't there. Bill Belichick isn't there.
Right.
And maybe that's a part of why I didn't need that blood. Whipping that New England ass all over Thursday Night Football was enough for me. And also, I think the other thing that made me want to pinch myself all night is last year, and I don't want to just pick on last year, but last year, for the Jets to score 9 offensive touchdowns, which is what this current roster has now accomplished through 3 weeks. They have scored 9 offensive touchdowns. Last year, it took the New York Jets, not one, not two, not three, not four, 10 weeks to score 9 offensive touchdowns.
Wow.
10 weeks. This year, it's taken 3 weeks. And for many years, without picking on individuals, we have watched either mediocre quarterbacks or downright garbage quarterbacks for years and years and years. And I don't know how long the Aaron Rodgers era will last.
Mm-hmm.
It may only be a year. It may be a couple of years. Aaron promised us 4 more years. We'll see. But we're witnessing someone play the position.
Yeah.
Where no one in our recent history has even come close to playing the position with the intelligence and just the natural ability that he has. And that's another,
right.
Oh my, I have to pinch myself moment.
It is amazing how different a team looks, feels, perceived when you have good quarterback play.
Mm.
And I know that it's the Patriots and they're struggling right now because they have a beat up offensive line. And defensively, it's new pieces, and they just got taken advantage of. Whatever you want to say. But to me, it's execution. It's being in the right spots at the right time, making the catches, being aware of moments, like the big moments in games. And the Jets did all of that. Yes, I know the opponent was in the big scheme of things, especially at the end of whatever, 17 weeks
mm-hmm.
or 18 weeks because of the bye week. They're not going to be one of the top teams, but that doesn't even matter. It's how you played. And we started briefly talking about Nate Hackett. Nate Hackett is not a developer of quarterbacks. There's certain coaches that are, right? That's just their MO. I'm going to take a young kid. I'm going to teach you the little things. You're going to step by step by step by step become one of the good quarterbacks. That's not Nate. Nate is brilliant, and he wants to throw it all at you at one time. And there's one guy who's handled it expertly in his tenure as an offensive coordinator in Green Bay and now here with the Jets, and that's Aaron Rodgers. He needed Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers needed him, and we're seeing the results of it right now.
And we're also seeing all these different players on the roster. Tyler Conklin, who led the team in receiving yesterday. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Ruckert made a couple of big plays. Alan Lazard, who we were running out of town last year, making great plays.
Last week, we were running out of town.
That's right. The drop on the first possession.
Right.
But Aaron Rodgers is making everybody look brilliant, and he's making me a very happy man right now.
Man, this is great. This is great to have positive football talk, but we're not going to talk about it at all 18 minutes into the show.
We're not going to talk about what?
The moment.
The non-hug.
The moment.
The non-hug.
The non-hug. Rodgers, okay. Sala, let's get our act together before we meet the media and talk about what happened.
Same old Jets.
Okay. You know what? Fair enough. When we come back, we address the moment.
What happened between Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers? Plus, we'll get to your calls at 888-808-1019. The New York Jets are 2-1 for the first time since 2015. The last time the New York Mets were in the World Series. 2015. We'll get to your calls coming up in a minute. 888-808-1019. The great Joe Beningo will join us. His reaction to last night. He was in the building as well. He'll join us coming up at 4 o'clock. So, what happened between Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh? I think we all saw the video from the Amazon Prime broadcast last night. It went all over social media. It looked like Aaron Rodgers was pissed at Robert Saleh. Looks like he gave him a little bit of a shove and said something to him. Before we get the fan fiction ideas from the Jet haters, Tiki, as someone who's been on a football field before, what do you think happened?
I think he was basically saying, too soon. Like, don't celebrate yet. That's what I thought. But I don't know.
But did you sense any, like, vitriol out of
no,
it? Like,
no.
No big deal to you.
I felt like it was... This is Aaron Rodgers. He's not warm and cuddly.
Right.
He's not... When does he celebrate? Like, ever. I guess after that touchdown to Garrett Wilson, he did. He was looking for Garrett, but Garrett was sprinting off the field for some reason. But like, he's just a staid person. He is very, like, non-emotive. He's not going to see this... like ridiculous beaming smile and jump up and down jubilation. That's just not him. And so I think Robert Coach Saleh was trying to, like, I don't know, celebrate. And Aaron was like, dude, we still got a lot of football to play.
I can see that.
That's what it felt like to me.
Here's what each of them said after the game. We'll start with the head coach of the New York Jets, Robert Saleh, who was asked, rightfully so, hey, what happened between you and your quarterback?
What happened in the second quarter? Looked like you went up and tried to give Aaron Rodgers a hug there.
Oh. He part of the things that we'd been talking about is to just get the defense a two-score lead. And it was a two-score lead, so I guess it was he just wanted to see something on defense. So
it just reminded me that he...
So he basically pushed him and said two-score lead. Now, here's what's really important. Is this story corroborated by Aaron Rodgers? Mm-hmm. Let's see. This is what Aaron Rodgers said.
That awkward exchange with you and Robert, you appeared to like, push him away.
Well, awkward? No, it was not really awkward at all.
When he went to hug you, what happened?
I didn't know. He's not a big hugger, usually, so I didn't know he was going for the hug. He likes to do the two-hand chest push as well. So, but he talks a lot about two-score leads.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I just kind of gave him a push and said, two-score lead. That's what happened.
So the story checks out.
Two. Yeah, so I could see it in his mouth. I thought it was two. I thought he was saying two.
Well, you said too soon.
I thought it was too soon.
He's saying two score a lead.
Two scores.
And so I'm a very skeptical person. I think a lot of us are. You know, a lot of people lie to us these days. I was certainly convinced listening to this late last night. Okay, story corroborates. That's it. That's what happened. Now, clearly you have some fan fiction to write, Sean, so go away. Let's hear what actually happened.
No, I don't think it's fan fiction. I do believe that the words were two-score lead. I do believe that. I think Aaron Rodgers is being sincere in that. But I could also tell that I don't think it was as simple as two dudes trying to pump each other up. And Aaron Rodgers had a tell, and all men have a tell. Whenever you're asked if you did something wrong by your wife, you always do the... No, it's not awkward at all. And we got that right there out of Rodgers. I've heard that. You're still a dude. We've
no,
heard all that.
I didn't have four drinks. Right? What are you talking about?
No. When you get that, no, it's not awkward at all. I think ultimately what happened, and I think this is actually good for Aaron Rodgers, but still bad on the dynamic and just something to keep in mind. I think Robert Saleh got hired a lot on his personality and exuberance and all of that. And I think he's super, super excited that he finally saw an offense go down the field and score those. Yeah. And I think he went overboard on about to celebrate, and I think that was Rodgers pushing him back, and maybe only said it's only a two-score lead, yeah. And it's probably something they talked about.
The only thing that we can continue to investigate is whether or not, because this is what Aaron said, Robert Saleh's a hugger.
Yeah, he said he's not a hugger, right?
We could find that out, or at least try to peep it out.
Yeah.
And if he is, or go look at old tapes and research whether or not Robert Saleh is actually a hugger.
So you
and
think
if he is?
Then he's a liar.
We know that Aaron is spinning a yarn.
Yeah, I don't get the sense that this is a yarn being spun. And I get, especially from the national media, they need something to divide us. You know, the Jets are supposed to be LOL Jets. I've always said that. Like,
no.
It's very strange for the New York Knicks and the New York Jets and the New York Mets to ever be complimented.
Same old Jets.
Because we're supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be LOL.
No.
So
That's the national media. I know they're good. I know the Knicks are good. But it doesn't mean that Charles Barkley doesn't try to LOL the New York Knicks. It doesn't mean that take your random ESPN broadcaster doesn't try to LOL the Jets. It's a part of who we are. So I get why some of the national media are trying to divide us as Jet fans. And I'm not even surprised that Sean's trying it because that's your desperate ploy. You're not used to the Jets being 2-1. But honestly, the story checks out. It does.
No.
Aaron Rodgers was given a, 2-score lead. Now hold it, you son of a bitch. Okay.
So if that's the story, that checks out. But this is why people are encouraged. It's not the idea of what he actually said. It was the interaction was extremely awkward and uncomfortable. And if that is what's going on, it just goes back to everything we said for 2 years. Who is truly the head coach of the team? Like Salah telling us, you know, the good teams coach themselves. If you're going to have a moment like that, I would just prefer the head coach be the one telling everybody, hey, there's still more work to be done, not the quarterback having to tell the head coach that.
Dude, it's
and it's just
like,
something to keep an eye on.
It's been like 3 years since he's had any kind of...
I agree.
Man, football is fun and easy right now because we're that good. It's been 3 years. You got to excuse the guy for like...
This
is what it's supposed to feel like as a successful head coach.
Aaron Rodgers is teaching me, and he's teaching Robert Saleh, what it's like to have high expectations and to win. Because I'll be the first to tell you, we know nothing about winning. We know nothing about
it. Should the head coach know that?
Well, what the hell does he know about winning?
He went to the Super Bowl as a defensive coordinator.
As a defensive coordinator. That's far different. As a head coach, he's seen a lot of bad football. He's at the quarterback Zach Wilson for the last couple of years. Like, it's okay for him to be excited. Plus, people always rip Robert Saleh. Well, where's the excitement from, like, San Francisco? So if it is about excitement, which I don't even think it is, I think it's about what Aaron said. I think it's about the back and forth on the 2-score lead. Because here's what I think is going on with the Jets, and I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I think the function of this roster right now is that Robert Saleh is the head coach, but he runs that defense with Jeff Albrecht.
Yes.
And Nate Hackett and Aaron Rodgers, as a tag team, run the offense. So, for example, I'm going to give you a specific example on this. One of the few critiques one could have from last night's game was the usage of timeouts early in the third quarter.
Yeah, it was bad.
Okay, right. You know whose fault that is, in my opinion?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers. And maybe a little bit of Nate, but mostly Aaron Rodgers. And you know how I know this? Because Aaron Rodgers, 2 weeks ago, said it was his fault. It's not Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh is watching the offense. Robert Saleh is saying, Nate and Aaron, I trust you. Yeah. And that's why when we talk about play calling around here, I'm going to be consistent about this. It's Nate and it's Aaron. It's Aaron and it's Nate. And I'm sorry you're getting jealous, but I kind of have a feeling they have a closer relationship than you and Nate do.
They definitely do. They've known each other for much longer.
I'm just saying. So Saleh is the head coach. He runs the defense. But I think when it comes to the offense, it's like, all right, boys, what the hell do I know about this?
But this is at least...
I am a little jealous, by the way.
I know you are.
This is the third or fourth time, to my count, in the last year where Aaron Rodgers has made Robert Saleh look foolish. Last year, when they asked Robert Saleh about, is Aaron Rodgers coming back this week? Oh, I don't know. And then Rodgers goes on McAfee and says, I'm done for the year.
Yeah.
The stuff with Egypt. Now this.
Look foolish.
He emasculates the head coach constantly.
Okay, that's a good one. Can you pull an audio clip for me that I sent to you?
Yes,
it's of Tommy Lugauer. I want you to play the Tommy Lugauer clip from Monday. And I want everyone to hear, Sir, your credibility.
The quarterback moves in slow motion.
The quarterback moves in slow motion.
He does. Against Tennessee, he moved in
slow
motion.
Did you watch him last night?
Yeah, he was moving great.
Okay.
So where's my credibility?
Exactly.
What a masterclass in deflection this is.
What you guys did on Monday was you took a victory and said, boy, heaven, he is something else, man. You're just going to ignore that the quarterback's in slow motion? And what I said to you guys was, hey, he's 2 weeks back from a torn Achilles.
Yeah.
Why don't you give it some time? And then 4 days later, you guys look like asses. So you should apologize to the audience for being Jet haters and just bringing something up because you can't let it go that something good happened to the Jets. And so you move on from that, and now it's, did you see Aaron Rodgers? He pushed Robert Saleh. He should be arrested for assault.
Okay. All right. You know what? I'm not going to apologize to anybody, but let's bring up two other things.
Hold on.
Answer me this, because there's two things the Jets continue to do in the Robert Saleh.
No, we're not talking about that right now. We're not going to talk about
bad clock management and bad penalties on defense.
Tiki, another example who doesn't listen to me.
We just talked about it.
Oh my God.
No, but Evan acts like it just happened like last night and a week ago. It's been happening for years.
Lugie, you got to listen to the show, bro.
I'm going to apologize and say he looked way better on his legs on Thursday night than he did Saturday. I'm not going to call his mobility done. That being said, this is definitely Kevin Durant, Steve Nash vibes.
First, so the first part of what you said, I appreciate.
Because I think it takes a lot sometimes to just say, hey, I said something on Monday, and it only took 3.5 days for me to look wrong, and I admit that.
It's funny you say it, because I think I more agree with what Evan is saying. Now, is it ideal? Of course not. That the offense kind of feels independent. It feels like wholly separate from the head coach.
It does.
And I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, but when you have a quarterback kind of like Peyton Manning was in Denver. Remember he went to Denver? Mm-hmm. The QB coordinator relationship was very different because Adam Gase was not even close.
How dare you bring up his name?
It was not even close to what Nate Hackett is in that relationship.
Yeah.
It was more Peyton saying, all right, this is what I did in Indy. This is what we're going to do here, and I'm going to be in control.
You can
call it if maybe you want to, type of thing.
This feels more like a team.
But it was also like wholly separate from John Fox.
Right.
Right? It was different.
That's how it feels now.
That's how this feels to me. As a defensive head coach who, even if he wanted to be involved in schematics and game planning and let's call this play, he wouldn't know. Right? And, I mean, he's not stupid, so he knows offense, but it's just not his expertise.
And that's why it really does check out that Aaron Rodgers was doing that. We do this as guys all the time where you're pumped up, you're excited, and you kind of give that angry look. Like I would do this to Loogie.
You take care of your side of the ball. We got our side.
Yeah, I'll give you like sort of similar. Like Loogie's positive Tommy, and he calls Mark Vientos a rock star. So I think I even did this to you in the SNY suite, and I clearly wasn't mad at you. Mark hit a home run, and I pushed Loogie and said, he's a rock star! And then I looked away. Because sometimes when you're pumped up, you give that like, yeah. And I think that's what happened. And it explains kind of the friendly competition between, hey, we did our job, big boy. Now we've given you the 2-score lead.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it? And that's how I take it. And that's because it checks out. That's what they said.
And here's the other thing. So think about Mike McDaniel down in Miami. And I'm bringing these examples up on purpose because it's a contrast. Mike McDaniel is a hugger. You see it all the time. Mm-hmm. When something good happens with Tua previously, even when it was bad with Tua, he kissed him on his head, right? And, you know, he went off when he got that concussion. But he hugs his players. He's always talking about, man, you're perfect for this team. This is exactly what we need. He's a lover. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh have that kind of, player-coach relationship. And so, to Aaron Rodgers' point, when he's saying he's not a hugger, maybe he's never hugged him. I'm being honest. And so when he comes up to him, he's just kind of like, what are we doing here? Are we like pushing each other? Are we like, what are we doing? And so I don't know. It's interesting.
888-808-1019. Let's get
not important.
Go ahead.
It's interesting, however, not important.
Interesting, but not important.
Yes.
All right, I'm with you on that. Let's get to some of your calls. The New York Jets are a 2-1 football team, and last night they thoroughly dominated an old rival known as the New England Patriots. Anthony is calling from Harlem. How are you, Anthony?
What's up, Anthony?
Boys, I was at the game last night, and I'm going to be honest with you. Driving there, I was a little bit anxious because I've been to 4 straight Patriot home games, and but you know, I'm a little shell shocked. But as soon as I walked in the building, you could feel it, and everything is different. And it's the belief, and it's number 8, and like I so many things I could talk about, but there's one thing that I want to talk about. I think Herb Street talked about it on the telecast when the Jets were putting it on them, and it was the third quarter. That linebacker took a cheap shot at Tyron Smith.
Yep.
And John Simpson got a 15-yard penalty. He put his shoulder pads in the kid's ribs, and then he gave him on the ground for some good measure.
Right, gave him
the
business.
You know what that is? He gave him the business. You know what that is? We're the hammer now, and you're the nail.
Right. And John Simpson did that earlier, Anthony.
Glad you mentioned that, because he did do it earlier.
He did it earlier. I forget.
Aaron Rodgers took a hit out of bounds that they didn't call.
Yes, yes.
And this was right underneath me. And I saw, this is the thing, like, with TV versus being at the game, I think you miss things when you're at the game, but I also think you see things when you're at the game. So tell me if this was shown on TV or not. I have no idea. John Simpson
immediately. He got right up in that linebacker's face.
Right in his face. So I think there were two great examples of John Simpson, one of the newest members of the New York Jets, saying, we are not going to be pushed around.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen. Now, the one our last caller referred to kind of annoyed me. Because, again, not sure they showed both. John Simpson had 2 cheap shots on the Patriot defender. The first was he pushed him down, and then when he was down, he kind of gave him another shove, and that cost the Jets 15 yards, which is not ideal.
He nutted him. That's what we call it.
Is that what he did?
Yeah, because you're supposed to, you know, plant and drag.
Right.
Right? You can get the picture.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you're supposed to do. He didn't plant them and drag them in a regular blocking sense, but that's what you do.
Yeah, there was a.
You going to use that on Sunday's broadcast?
I don't think I can get away with it on Sunday's broadcast, but here on WFAN,
absolutely,
we have different standards. Clearly,
dude, he's crushing nuts. You know the nuts they fall in trees. You step on them.
Yep, I know nuts.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. What did you think I was talking about?
That's what
Zach's underwear. Like seriously, yeah,
perhaps Reese's Sunday.
Let's go to Mike in Westchester. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? For once, I'm watching the game. I'm actually not screaming at the TV, but one thing I just want to bring apart was before half, I think we were just a little too lackadaisical taking the 3 points. It's not a given field goal. I mean, yeah, we have a great kicker, but, you know, why don't just drop the hammer on them and try to get a score touchdown there?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, up by 3 scores, and then the old Jets, you know, the old Jets would give up points right before half, and here they come, and then, you know, make it a 4-point game before half, make it a little bit more scarier, but we got out of that, and
I didn't.
You know, please win, but.
You know, by the way, Mike, a lot of people have said that, and there were a few people in my section that were kind of upset about that at the end of the first half. I didn't really have an issue with it, because to me, I have faith in Greg Zuerlein. I was very surprised that Greg Zuerlein didn't get the job done. A 45-yard field goal, I don't want to say is automatic. And I didn't think their play calling was that bad. They were trying to gain yards. They were trying to get a first down. It's not like they were just leaning, sitting on the football. They weren't really doing that. I don't think they handed the football off once. So they were trying to convert. It didn't work. And Greg Zuerlein flat out missed. It was one of the worst misses he's had as a Jet kicker. And maybe the other reason I didn't hate it that much is I was so confident.
Yeah.
Like, just watching this game, I didn't think the Patriots had a shot.
Right. Oh, I think that's why. I went back and I did look and see. That was a long drive.
Yes.
It was 12 plays. I mean, not play-wise. It wasn't length-wise. But coming off a 13-play touchdown drive, which went 91 yards the series before, they kick a field goal, the Patriots, which was their only score of the game.
Yep.
And then with 3-something left on the clock, you just march it down.
And they convert on a couple of third downs.
Yep, convert on some third downs. It's 12 plays. You get in field goal range. All you need is the field goal. And I think maybe I'm just forgetting the importance of that moment in real time because it ultimately didn't matter.
Yeah, right? No,
it's not seared in my head because I'm not looking back on man, this game was closer than it should have been, or, man, the Jets lost this because of this happened. It became not as important because of how the second half played.
Well, but also, in the moment, my thought was, just go get me 3 points.
Yeah.
Go make this a 17-3 game. And even though the Pats get the ball to start the second half, I'm thrilled.
Yeah, but it's a three and out.
Greg Zuerlein failed.
Right.
And that's really what it came down to. Like, a 45-yard field goal is not a chip shot, but it's one that he made last year.
Yeah, right.
And he missed that by a mile and a half.
It was the 2 series right after the half that just made me not even think about it anymore.
Right.
3 and out for the Patriots, and then 66-yard touchdown drive for the Jets.
Yep.
It truly didn't matter anymore.
Gil is calling from Union. How you doing today, Gil, on this beautiful Friday?
Hey, beautiful, man. Hey, I love your show, guys, man. No one's talked. This guy was just like MVP like last night, vintage, man. So you're going to see more of that. This is my team kind of stuff on the sidelines as we get progressed through the season. But no one's talking about those balls that he was throwing on the run. And he put 2 balls in Mike Williams' hands in the end zone yesterday, too. No touchdowns, but those balls could have been touchdowns. And as far as the interaction that they had on the sidelines, I thought it might have been a play call because they were driving on one of those drives you guys were referring to.
Yeah. Yep.
And when they got close, they decided to go for a run. They got blown up. And they went immediately after that to a Garrett Wilson pass in the sideline. That's the play that I think he wanted to run. And it would have been a short touchdown the way they were lined up defensively. And that's why I think he went to the sideline. Yeah, that's my theory. And as far as Garrett Wilson and that weird stuff he did when he got that touchdown and he ran to the sidelines, I think that was maybe a moment for the kid. He got a touchdown from a Hall of Famer,
right.
His first touchdown from Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And I believe that he ran off the field with the ball as well.
Yeah, he did. He did. But I think he gave it to Aaron.
I think he ended up giving it to him, yeah.
Right, because it was Aaron's first home touchdown pass
to him. It's interesting.
No, because the first one was Lazard. That's the one that was gifted back to him. His first home touchdown pass was to Alan Lazard that put him up 7-0, and Lazard is the one that gifted it to him.
Right.
So I'm not sure what he did with that, but I think Garrett Wilson probably...
Oh, that's the one I'm thinking of. They put the tape on it, and they showed it on the
broadcast. I think Garrett Wilson listens to these bozos on the other side and knows about the competition between him and neighbors and wants to get in the end zone.
I don't even know if he kept the ball.
I'm not sure what he did.
He didn't run back to the sideline with the ball. He just ran back himself. I mean, it doesn't matter. I didn't realize this.
Well, what Roger said, by the way, is that remember the play right before that? Garrett Wilson was kept out of the end zone?
Yes.
And Garrett Wilson said, I wanted to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, get me in the end zone. And Aaron's response was, okay.
Yeah.
Which is the second time we heard this about Rodgers, where a guy on offense tells him the play,
right,
and Aaron's like, okay. Right. He did that a week earlier with Breece Hall, that's apparently what happened with Garrett Wilson on the touchdown.
He said, I'm about to beat the tar out of this DB. Throw me the ball.
Yes.
And he did.
And he did.
And he did. And so, I think also with the Garrett Wilson and the touchdown, the thing that shocked me, that was the first round wide receiver to have caught a touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers in his career.
That's insane. And that's partially because Green Bay never used first-round picks on wide receivers.
And Davante Adams was a second-round pick. When I heard that stat, or I read that stat this morning, I was like, that cannot be possible.
That's nuts.
He's 40 years old.
Well, the scary part, and not scary, it's exciting. The part that's so scintillating is when you look at a lot of the rosters that Aaron had in Green Bay, defense and offense, the whole thing, but including just the offense, you look at the pieces he has around him right now.
Yeah,
this may be the best he's ever had.
It is.
Which is nuts.
He didn't have a first-round wide receiver that's caught a touchdown pass for him until last night. Think about that.
And now he's got two running backs who,
right,
I think we've got to do it today. I think we got to do it now. I don't think we should waste any more time. But clearly, these two guys deserve a nickname.
Oh.
I mean, it's coming.
Uh-oh.
Breece and Braylon deserve a nickname.
Oh, they already have one.
What's up?
The Killer Bees.
That's an easy one.
Huh. They gave it to themselves.
Yeah. Oh, so they already named themselves?
Yes.
Damn it.
I think Breece said
Don't they realize we have to do it as New York sports fans?
We saw Breece at camp, right? Did we see him at camp?
Of course we saw him at camp. He signed that beautiful picture to you.
We didn't ask him on air about his nickname, though, did we?
No, because Braylon Allen, we didn't realize as great of a prospect as he was. I mean, he's a fourth-round pick. Like, right. I don't think we realize this quickly.
He's a fourth-round pick.
How in pick foul he be?
Because of the underwear Olympics, he said. Did you guys see that?
Yes, so, I did.
He asked, because he's asked. He's a stud, dude.
Yes.
This kid is an impact player.
Oh, I think we already know that 3 weeks in.
Right, right away. And so he's been asked, you know, how do you think you fell so far? He's like, because the combine. People make judgments about, especially running backs, at the combine, which he called. And you guys hear me say this all the time.
Yeah.
Running around in your underwear, right? Training camp is mostly running around in your underwear. Don't tell me about the underwear Olympics because it means nothing.
That's right.
It means absolutely nothing.
There is
a physicality that is necessary to be a good football player.
Right.
And if you don't have pads on or you're just competing and running drills without pads on, it means nothing.
Mm.
Jack to me. And I think that's what he's getting at, and he's right. Right? Some guys just are gamers in pads.
Yeah.
And even if they don't look the part, they don't test the part, they're gamers in pads. He is clearly one of those.
And it only took this kid, who is 20 years old, 3 weeks to become a huge part of this offense. That's the surprising part, because if you go back to week one,
right,
I even brought it up to you. I was like, man, there was some third and shorts. Why not Braylon Allen? Why not the big, bruising 20-year-old running back? And you gave a reasonable answer. You said they probably don't trust him yet.
Mm-mm.
He's a rookie. He's 20 years old. It's his NFL debut. The second week of the season against Tennessee, we saw that trust change.
Right.
Last night at MetLife Stadium, we've seen that trust change. So these two guys, they're going to be a story all year.
Of course.
And it's almost going to be like a competition.
Right. It's funny. You double down on a position that's really good for you already. I mean, Breece Hall is one of the top three or four running backs in the NFL, at least according to fantasy, and probably is even in regular evaluation of a running back. And you go get another great running back, it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, well, it's kind of awesome, but one thing I'm curious about, and we'll get to it coming up, plus more of your calls, is there an issue between Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers? And you would know this better than anybody. Is there kind of a competition between the two guys?
Nope.
They're going to be battling for touches.
Nope. It motivates you both. It happened to me one time in my career. You guys remember.
We'll get into it a lot more coming up.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.